You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
And how are you this fine Friday morning?
I'm all right.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for you, man. So,
yep.
Devin, how are you? You're here. You're awake.
I'm all right. I'm all right. Like you said, it's been a rough week for everyone.
Yes.
With the way some of those Jazz games went.
Yes. It has.
So, do we yep. talk about that? Do we need to have a vent session and get all the emotions out?
Vent session. Are we in a mood to vent? Because it's a nice Friday morning. I'm not sure I'm in a sour mood.
Yes, you are. Well, we put the salt in Great Salt Lake.
Here's the thing. Go ahead, John.
I was able to go to game four, and that was great. It was a wonderful atmosphere. The Jazz won. I loved being able to be part of that. So it was positive to be there at that game.
Yes.
Overall, though, I think for the long run of this franchise, I think this will be a positive thing. And I say that because last year they got to the second round. They felt pretty good about what they had, and they decided to run it all back. They ran it all back, and they got the same result they did last year, which is they lost to the Rockets in five. Now, it's tragic that it was the first round this year instead of the second round, but it showed that the Jazz can't run it all back again. They have some glaring weaknesses, and they need to address those weaknesses. And the weaknesses is offense. Their defense was good enough to win three games. You know, the Jazz should be up 3-2 if you're just going off defensive numbers. But their offense was not there. And
so they
got changes they need to make.
Yeah, it was this series and the first two games. Anybody listening, and I realize we're a Utah Jazz podcast, but anybody listening needs to understand the context of what I'm about to say, and that is games one and two were not, they were the outliers. They were not what this series was about. And you could tell, and we all talked about this last week, or John, you and I did, and we talked about this, the way things had started out in the beginning, the Jazz were... Quinn decided to change things up defensively and go with a different angle. And in fairness, even though the Rockets blew the Jazz out in games one and two, the defense was tailored to slow down, make James Harden uncomfortable, and put him in positions where he had to do something else. And I'm going to tell you right now, all five games, the Jazz did so. The problem was games one and two ended up in, what did we say last week? An average of 10 assists per game because he found guys in the corners and at the top of the key in the back door for easy shots. But I could tell, I don't know about you guys, but in game three, I went to game three and I could tell the Jazz figured something out. Rotations were crisp. They were as a team together. And I thought, you know what? There's a chance. There is a chance to tie this series up and continue. And John, you're right. Offense was bad. Game three, I don't know if it was so much the offense as it was free throws. And how do you fix free throws? I don't know you can bring in better offensive players to do that. Guys got to make your freebies. They missed 13 freebies on Saturday night for game three, and they lost by, what was it, four? You make half of those freebies, you win that ball game. And I felt like Saturday night's game came down to free throws. We went to the line that many more times than Houston and should have converted.
Well, not just those. You have to look at their open shots throughout the series.
I'm agreeing.
The Jazz had open shots. They had good looks, and guys just couldn't knock them down.
Right.
You know, I love the guy, but Joe Ingles seemed to disappear for most of the series.
Yep.
Which is partly a testament to what Houston was doing. And, you know, I'm going to say partly just bad luck because things happen and sometimes shots don't fall. But
well, and Donovan was horrible too. And if you look at it coming into this series, Donovan's second half of the season, he's been blistering from downtown. That disappeared in this series.
Well, game five, what was he, 4 of 22 or something like that?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
So, I mean,
Yeah.
How much do you have to implement change in this roster, and how much can you say, you know what, it was bad luck, and we're going to run it back with most of the guys and hope that we don't have a cold shooting spell like we did? I mean, there are clearly going to be some changes.
Well, and before we answer those, I I'm going to ask the question. To me, I go back to game three. You have to do the things that you can control. Open shots, can you control those? To a certain extent. But I feel like you can control free throws more than you can open shots. I can live with 29% from downtown. I can't live with 60% from the free throw line. Yes or no?
No, I think it's a little too simple if we do this, because a stat that Locke has been doing for years is called PAC. Now he calls it points gained, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And he's been looking at offense, and the Jazz's problem is that they don't have enough offensive players. They have enough defensive players. But the way the game is shifting, and especially this year with the defensive rule changes, the rules have gotten kind of ridiculous, where it just always favors the offensive player. And so the rules are now set up with, you know, free movement that it limits what the Jazz can do defensively. And they've overcome. I mean, they were a tenth of a point away from being the best defense in the NBA last year. I think they're number two. But the limits they have on offense has caught up to them. And they have a lot of guys who might have good percentage numbers, but they don't have a lot of good scorers. And the Jazz really need that second scorer. Joe is, you know, he's getting older. I think that's what it came down to, is he looked older in this playoff series. And we need to recognize that Joe's peak was probably during the regular season last year, but he can't be relied on to be your second scorer. And
right,
you know, who the guy that took the second most field goal attempts was Ricky Rubio, and Ricky Rubio's never been a good shooter. And that's just what the Jazz need. They need somebody else who can be a reliable scorer, so that Donovan doesn't have to put it all on his shoulders, because, you know, he does it every night, but because of that load, he has nights where he goes 4 of 22.
Well, and it's interesting you bring up the defense, because I have seen a lot of knee-jerk reactions on Facebook especially, but on Twitter as well, that no one on this team is safe except Donovan Mitchell, and that includes Rudy. People are like, "Yeah, we need offense, so it's time to ship Rudy out." And I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't agree with that, because I think Rudy is very efficient and effective on the offense. I think the problem is surrounding him and Donovan with more offense. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes. You don't trade Rudy unless you're getting back like Anthony Davis or something. I would say Mitchell's safe. Rudy's safe. Honestly, a lot of these guys are safe. Royce O'Neal is safe. You know, his contract's only like $1.2 million in team option. They're gonna pick that sucker up, because he was great in these playoffs. But there are, I do think that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Korver retires. I don't think they're gonna bring back Thabo. Rubio, I doubt Rubio's back. Favors is up in the air. Favors played great, but it's just a matter of, what do they do with his contract? Are they able to get someone bigger? I lean more towards Favors comes back next year, but it just depends on what happens in the free agent market. But they need more scorers. They need either a point guard who can score, or at least a point guard who's more consistent in scoring, or get somebody else, or maybe even move Donovan to the one and you just get a really good two guard or something. But they need more scoring.
I agree. So since we're talking about scoring and changes this offseason, I want to transition. I got an interesting text from our good friend Brett, and we had some conversations, and he threw out some names, and I want to know your thoughts. And I'm trying to look up free agents available while we're talking, but let me throw these names out real quick. So he texts me and he says, I mean, obviously the first thought was either Tobias Harris or Kemba. My question is, can we get either one of them? And what do you think of either one of them?
I think Tobias would be great. Tobias is going to give a first look to Philly, and it depends on what happens with Jimmy Butler in Philly. So, you know, if Philly has a collapse in the playoffs and there's a lot of backbiting and pointing, I mean, who knows? Who knows? We'll just see how Philly goes. But I think if Philly has a big enough implosion, but maybe Jimmy Butler wants to re-sign and maybe they can't re-sign Tobias as well, then yeah, I think Tobias would be an ideal fit on the Jazz. Kemba, I think Kemba's a really good scorer. I think the question of Kemba is his size, and are you willing to give up that much in order to get his scoring? But,
right,
you know, I think between, you know, next year, if I'm picking between Kemba and Rubio, I think I'd rather have Kemba just for the scoring.
The only concern I have for Kemba is his defense. It's really no better than Ricky Rubio's. In fact, I think it's worse, but he is a better scorer.
Yeah, I think it is worse than Ricky, but I think it's okay to give up a little defense if you can get some more offense, because the way the game is going, it is more towards offensive players. And one thing Locke pointed out is that the team that had the better offensive rating going into these playoffs, they have all won, except Denver and San Antonio have the same offensive rating, and that's the closest series.
Okay, I'm going to throw two more names at you. Patrick Beverley, yes or no?
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Or Chris Middleton, which is interesting because when Brett and I were talking about this, I said I would think that the Bucks would try and keep him. He says he has a player option for $13 million, but can't make much more than that. And Milwaukee is capped out and may not be able to afford him. And so maybe he goes for a deal elsewhere. What do you think? Are you intrigued by the option of Middleton?
Yes. Yeah, if you want to go ahead and move Donovan to the one and Middleton is the two, he would be a great fit. You know, I kind of had a fantasy of Portland collapsing the first round and then Portland deciding, do we break up Dame and CJ?
Right.
And the Jazz seeing if they could get one of those guys. That's not going to happen. Portland's doing great. But Middleton, yeah, if Milwaukee gets stuck with cap space and they can't keep him, then he's another one ideal to pursue. I think there's going to be a lot of intriguing guys on the market.
Well, and Devin and I have the list up, and Devin's looking through it, and I think was going to throw out some names there too. What do you got?
Well, here's what I was going to say. First off, I'm not a big Tobias Harris fan. So you call that an ideal fit. I wanted to ask you, with Tobias Harris, that means Favors is gone, essentially, correct?
Likely, yeah.
Does Harris net you better when I think he's an inferior defensive player, a superior offensive player, and he can't back up Rudy the way that Favors can? Does that really make the Jazz that much better? I know that when you look at offensive numbers, it seems like, yeah, this is a great fit. That's exactly what we're looking for. But in terms of rotations, in terms of both ends of the court, your plus or minus.
But you can play him alongside Rudy, not back up Rudy.
You can do the same with Favors. I'm just saying, I'm not as big on Harris. I'd like to find someone who allows the Jazz to keep Derek Favors, who I think is one of the most underrated players in the league, and find someone else who can fit that role. So that's just where I'm at. Kemba, absolutely. I would love to have, but I think that's a long shot. Here's a few more names, because you know that I want the best player on the Warriors, Klay Thompson, but yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Jimmy Butler, if things go south, do you think there would be any chance of him coming to the Jazz?
No, and I'm not sure I would want that answer.
I doubt it, and here's something to remember when we're looking at free agents, and I think Locke talked about this yesterday on his podcast. There are certain destination cities. No matter how well your franchises are run, there are going to be some cities that are just that much more appealing to free agents. And Utah is not one of those. And he identified 8 as good destination cities where players are looking around and they're like, money's pretty comparable, but where do I really want to live? And so there's 8 places like that, you know, LA, Golden State, New York, Houston, a few like that. So if money's kind of comparable and franchises aren't that much different. Actually, their guy's totally willing to go to complete losing franchises if they like the city and the money.
That's
there.
Unfortunate, but yes.
It's just a fact. So, you know, that's why the Jazz have zero chance of getting Klay Thompson. And Jimmy Butler, I just think he seems like the type where the city matters, where right. the city life matters. And so I don't think they would get him anyway.
Okay. Here's maybe some different thoughts. We talked about Chris Middleton, who has that player option. If the Bucks want to keep Middleton, is it possible that they let Malcolm Brogdon walk? He's a restricted free agent this year, but if that's where their mindset is Brogdon maybe someone that the Jazz should have?
That's the other one Brett brought up in conversation.
Have on their radar.
See, I'm inclined to think with the way Milwaukee's salary is that they are not going to be able to keep both of those guys. I think one of them, one of them's going to be gone. So it's a matter of which one the Bucks decides to keep and how they do it, and then you go get the other one.
Okay, so here's some names for you too. Kent Bazemore. Harrison Barnes.
No.
I'm throwing out names
here,
of guys.
I got some better names. I got some better names.
Eric
for
Bledsoe.
You. Stop it. Just stop it. D'Angelo Russell has had a breakout season. D'Angelo Russell is 23 and an unrestricted free agent this offseason. He seems to have a good relationship with Donovan. Do you think that that's someone that maybe the Jazz could persuade to come to Utah?
I would love to get D'Angelo. I think yes, he had an excellent breakout year. He was the number two pick. But he's the best player on Brooklyn, and Brooklyn I think is going to do whatever they can to keep him. Brooklyn's finally back in the playoffs. And Brooklyn, I think, is showing that, hey, now that we're competitive, maybe we'll have a better chance at getting free agents. And it is Brooklyn. That's a destination city. The Knicks franchise is more glorious, but the Knicks franchise has been in shambles forever.
Right.
Whereas the Nets have shown, hey, we can get back on track, even though we didn't have all these draft picks.
I've got another one for you, although he's 30 years old, but he's been in the league 5 years, and I like him, and I like his style in Indiana. Bogdanovich, unrestricted free agent.
He would be a decent talent upgrade.
I could see him playing the Joe Ingles part, and he's a two-year upgrade, can move better, and is quite the scorer if you really look at it. When you've got him on the floor, if you take Donovan off, you can run the offense through him, because Indiana's done that on a few occasions.
Yeah, he'd be cool.
I got one more for you. and I think would take some persuading, but I think he could fit really well on the Jazz if you clear the space and can use money to make it talk. JJ Redick is 34 and an unrestricted free agent.
I like JJ, but I don't. Again, it all depends on what Philly does, because I mean, they've got to be able to afford everybody. But what do they do, and who's their priority?
Well, yeah, exactly. If they're going after Butler, Harris, you know, they've got their two young guys. Philly's going to have some bills. Redick could be one of those guys who says, I'm just going to go get the most money that I can. Do the Jazz pay a premium to get Redick in, play Donovan, JJ Redick backcourt, and then you've got two shooters?
See, JJ feels like a final piece. It's like, who else do you get, and then do you go after JJ? Because he is 34.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about that.
Yep.
He's like a nice to have. I mean, he had a career year, I think the year before.
You know.
But yeah, he's one.
You want a younger version? How about and this is a little bit of a different version. I know how much we all hated him when he was with the Clippers and then now with the Rockets. Austin Rivers is an unrestricted free agent.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
No.
I threw that name out for fun just because I knew what the kind of reaction I'd get. It's purely for fun. I know. It's there are a lot of free agents this year, a lot of marquee free agents. I'm not counting on the marquee free agents. And John, back to your point on Reddick, I think the thing applies to a couple of these other players we mentioned, is those are final pieces or those are parts to the puzzle. We're really looking at possibly landing somebody, you know, I don't know, either just outside the marquee tier or maybe a marquee, but just somebody that's going to take the load off of Donovan. And it can't be just one of those role-playing type guys. It's got to be a stud guy. And there's a few out there. It's a question of whether the Jazz can draw them in.
Yeah.
So, and I think a few of the names we mentioned right at the top of this conversation are on that list, you know, Kemba Walker being one of them. So Kemba might be one of those guys that might possibly be more inclined to come to Utah. We've got a lot of doomsdayer fans out there that think, oh, you just exited the playoffs after the first round, 4-1 against the Rockets for the second year in a row. Nobody's going to want to come and play in Utah. I don't buy that.
Here's the thing. I think more likely, though, the Jazz are going to make their update on draft day. And so I think we also ought to look at trade possibilities. I don't think Mike Conley's out of the question. I think now that they got new ownership, you know, that it sounded like talks were close, but the Memphis front office was so disorganized that they just couldn't get a deal done. I think talks for that rev back up.
Now, I don't know, because pieces that the Jazz had to do that are no longer on the books, right? Rubio's off the books. I mean, who are they going to want?
Well, they're off the books on July 1st. I'm trying to remember.
The draft is June 26th or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's
so they could is it off the books or if they're off the books, then they can do a trade into space because they have all that space with all the with the free agents off. And so they could trade a first round pick and a contract or two for Conley and have, you know, it be lopsided where the Jazz are taking back, you know, $15 million more in salary than they're sending away because of the space they have because of the guys who are now free agents.
Okay.
So I think they kind of get renewed interest in Conley. One other thing I look at with the Jazz, they need a talent upgrade, and they also need to make sure they take advantage of Rudy's contract. Because Rudy's got two more years, and you know he's an elite center, and you still have Donovan on your rookie contract. And so there's this nice window salary-wise where if you can get that talent upgrade, get your other big name either through trade or free agency, and you go for it in these next couple of years. And this season showed that they're not ready to go for it. So they need to make those talent acquisitions so they can go for it.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Rudy Gobert turns 27 in June.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just now entering that would-be prime stage of his life. So there's a lot of promise there. So, all right, well, that's... we started out with the unfortunates of losing a series to the Rockets. We went into some hopeful as the summer begins. Let's jump into the rest of the NBA playoffs. Any surprises yet, John?
I was surprised Portland handled OKC as well as they did. But... holy crap, Dame is like on another level. That last shot was amazing.
50 that night. He dropped 50 on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that was incredible.
No, he didn't drop 50 on Russell Westbrook.
Hey.
He may have dropped 47, but three of those at least were on Paul George.
We're on Paul George.
Like the final shot.
Now, did you think that was a bad shot, or are you along with Dame with the LOL reaction to that?
I don't know.
I'm on the LOL because of the stat they put up that of everyone who's taken shots more than 30 feet away from the basket, Dame has made 8 of 12. Sounds like a good shot to me.
Yeah, sure does.
Well, and if you're not going to guard him, I mean, Jordan was just way too far off of him. So the thing was, he hit that same shot, almost that same distance, to start the second half of that game.
So what you're saying is that was classic deflection from Paul George. That was just a bad shot, was a deflecting statement because, you know, he'd rather not get into the fact that he wasn't playing him straight up like he should have been.
I'll give him this. It was a low percentage shot for most basketball players.
But not for Dame and not for Steph Curry. There are a pair of players, couple of players, maybe beyond those two, that you know that shot is not a bad shot. And Steph and Dame are the first two to come to mind on that one.
Well, any shot from the right side of the half court,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
is an okay shot for Steph and Dame.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you, John. That series surprised me a bit, and I'm going to reiterate what we said a couple of weeks ago. All three of us, I think, agreed on this. Or no, it was just you and me that said it last week. I think Billy Donovan might be done.
I think he's in the hot seat. I think you got to look at it. Three first round exits in a row to three different teams, three different ways.
Yep.
And you can't blame it on Westbrook, the least efficient offensive player in the NBA.
No, you can't.
So you go to the coach next.
Right.
So if you switch coaches and then they get another first round exit, then maybe you start contemplating other things. But, well,
especially when they've got such a diverse group of people to play on that team. They've got guys that can play, you know. They've got Grant. They've got some really young pieces that are very good. That team's got a lot of talent and a lot of opportunity. And I have to think Billy Donovan is not going to be there much longer. So as far as the rest of the playoffs, they've gone about as expected.
I don't know.
You don't know?
The East did. You know, the East ended up going about that way. But let's think about the Warriors-Clippers series.
Okay, that one didn't go quite as expected
either.
Clippers
are putting up a fight.
Yeah. Is that going to game six tonight, I believe, right? I believe it's six
tonight.
Yes, it's game six.
And the Clippers have won two games on the road in that series, have they not?
Correct.
Wow. Any concern that the Warriors can't beat the Rockets? I still think they will.
I don't think they do.
You don't think so?
No, I think the Rockets win it all this season.
If the Rockets get to the finals, then I'm cheering on the Bucks.
No, I'm cheering for anyone against the Rockets. But the fact is, the Rockets look like the best team on both sides of the court. The Warriors are struggling. The Warriors don't have DeMarcus Cousins. And if, you know, they're going to rely on their offense, I think... Houston's a deep team. I think Houston has fantastic shooters all around. I think they have a great big man in the middle. I think this is Houston's year.
Let's not forget the team that taught the Jazz everything they know about defending the Rockets. The Milwaukee Bucks. They were the ones
the
that
Jazz
were defending
just
him.
Lost 4-1.
But it wasn't because of defense, and we just talked about
but
that.
But they still lost.
So I'm saying the Bucks have the defensive moniker to be able to finish it, and they can also score, and they have the best player in the NBA on their team. Who's the MVP, dude? Who's the MVP?
James Harden.
No, he's not.
James Harden is the reigning MVP.
But he won't be this year.
You're talking hypotheticals in the future.
No. I can't stand the Rockets. No, I'm not giving Harden that.
Okay, Milwaukee taught how to defend the Rockets. First, you got to defend it with this scheme, and then you have to have the best player in the NBA. So, yes.
Yes.
Now, Jazz had half of that. They had the scheme. They didn't have the other half. They didn't have the best player in the NBA. So, Warriors, if they could look at what the Jazz did, look at what the Bucks did. The problem, I think, with the Warriors, and there's been some talk about this, is the Warriors players have just been taking the first round for granted.
Probably.
And they don't have that fire. And I was listening to ESPN, and they said that one thing Kerr said to Doc Rivers, he complimented him on how hard his guys were playing, and even said that he was a little jealous about how hard they were all playing. And he kind of got from that he's having a hard time keeping his Warriors motivated, and they're just not playing at full capacity. They are coasting a bit. They're relying on their talent. And what happens when you do that? Well, you don't get your first round sweep. Clippers have won two games, and
right.
The Warriors players need to wake up and realize that, yes, they are by far the most talented team in the NBA, but you still got to play the game.
And I still think the Warriors are going to close it out in LA tonight.
They probably will, but I really like the Rockets' chances in the second round based on the lackadaisical approach the Warriors have had with the Clippers and for chunks of the season. And the Warriors they're just not a happy team this year. You hear a lot of disgruntlement all year, really. Right. I think the Warriors are kind of getting tired of each other and it's more likely than not KD leaves.
That's why
I think whether they win a ring or not, I think KD's out of there.
That's why Devin wants Klay Thompson.
I can totally understand the getting tired of each other.
Don't you look at me like that.
Because the fact is, you don't have to like a team to respect their talent and give an honest answer.
I don't respect a player who sits on the floor and pouts. Sorry, I don't.
Oh my gosh. You're really going to do this?
Can we move on?
James Harden is one of the best offensive players that the game has ever seen.
With one of the most unwatchable games in the league. I can't watch him. He's not even watchable.
He is the reigning MVP. Giannis is not the best player in the league until someone says, and even if he gets the MVP.
Then he is.
No, listen. Listen. How many times has someone besides LeBron James gotten the MVP and we've said, LeBron's still the best player in the league? How many times have we said that?
Last year.
We've said that several years.
Yeah.
And so just because Giannis wins, it doesn't mean that Giannis is the best player in the league. Steph may still be better than Giannis. KD may be better than Giannis. Harden may be better than Giannis. The fact is, Houston is playing incredible basketball, and you don't have to like it, but you have to admit it.
I can't. Sorry.
Whatever. Okay. How about that Denver Spurs series? Yeah.
The offenses are really close, and it's the closest series in the playoffs. And I think we all kind of thought that's the way it was going to be. It was going to be one of the closer series of the whole thing.
And now we're going to game 7.
Are we?
Yeah.
Did they win last night?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Game 7 tomorrow in Denver. Who are you guys taking?
Oh.
Game 7. How do you go against Pop in a game 7?
You don't.
That's tough.
The averages just aren't playing out like I thought they would, because I didn't think San Antonio could win road games in this series, and they did. And they have a chance to win a road game in a game 7. So and then before the series even began, we all talked about how we felt like Denver is still young and likely to be the team upset. I mean, if they don't get beat here, they're going to get beat by Portland in the next round, I think. But
yeah, Portland has to just be salivating. Portland's got have Western Conference Finals written on their whiteboard.
I'm going to throw out a what if. What if the Spurs beat the Nuggets, and then the next round the Spurs beat the Portland Trailblazers? What if? And Pop has a last swan song to the Western Conference Finals.
Well, according
cross
to
that
you,
bridge when we get there.
I know we will cross that bridge when we get there. I just think it would be funny. And you get if it works out on this side of the bracket, as Devin suggests, that the Rockets are going to get there, you get the Texas two-step in the Western Conference Finals.
And Alan says, Houston's not that good. And the Spurs, the Spurs are your 2018-2019 NBA champions.
Let me just say this right now. I believe Portland is going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes, I agree. I just threw the what if for fun, and Devin's going to have fun with me on this one the rest of the day.
Yeah. Whee!
I'm going Spurs, and then I'm going Blazers next series. So
yeah, agreed.
I'm gonna give it to the Nuggets. I'll let them pull it out.
Okay. Let's look at the East real quick, because we're already to the conference semifinals. Game 1 will be tomorrow between the Sixers and the Raptors. Kind of an intriguing matchup. Worked out the way we thought it would, though. What do you guys feel in that way?
I think Raptors are going to win that series.
Yeah, I go Raptors.
Okay. As do I. And then your other matchup, series begins on Sunday. You've got the Celtics and the Bucks. I get the feeling you guys are going to say Bucks because they have the best player in the NBA.
Yes, you got it. The best two-way player.
But let's give Boston credit. Boston seems to be putting it together in the playoffs.
Boston is putting it against, putting it together, but they put it together against a Oladipo-less Pacers team. And a big difference this year is going to be Bucks have a different coach than they did last year in the playoffs. And so between Giannis and Mike Budenholzer, that's why I think the Bucks are going to beat the Celtics.
Bucks and six.
Six. You love to have them win it out on the road.
Yeah. I mean, or if you want me to just say five, I mean, I just, I don't think it's going, I don't think it's going the distance. I don't.
I don't know. Boston's got a deep team. Hayward had some good games. They have Brad Stevens, who's one of, if not, okay, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. I still refuse to give away Pop's title like that.
Yeah.
But no, I think the Bucks get it done sooner than later. So six, but maybe five. I mean, five would suggest that Boston only wins one, and that's why I said six, because I think Boston can win two in that series.
I'm going to go Bucks and seven. I'm going to give them the advantage of home court.
Mm.
John's taking it in.
I'm thinking Bucks five or six, I think.
Yep.
And it's going to lead to some glorious offseason speculation with the
right
Boston when that happens.
I'm just watching what the Bucks are doing defensively, not just in the playoffs, but really over the last half of the season. They're playing. You mentioned the Jazz are what, a tenth of a point, whatever it was, second best defensive team in the league. Dare we mention the number one team? I thought that was the Bucks, wasn't it?
The what?
Are the Bucks the number one defensive team in the NBA, or they're pretty close, aren't they?
Oh, I think it was the Bucks.
Yeah, I think it's the Bucks followed by the Jazz.
I'm trying to remember full season. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got, they're very good defensively, very sound defensively. And so I think they're going to, I think this is their year to get to the NBA finals. I think it is, you know, I mean, granted, they still have to face the winner of Toronto and Philly. I just think that the Bucks I think Budenholzer has them dialed in, and I think they're heading the right way, and they've got some very good pieces on that team. So, I just five or six, because I just don't think the Bucks are going to play around in this series. They didn't last series either. They're just not one.
Bucks are number one defense. Boston's number six.
Yeah.
And if you go to offensive rating, Bucks are fourth and Boston is 10th.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Bucks have the total package. They can score and they can defend. And this is, I feel like they're on a destiny course right now. So I just don't see them losing this series. I think that I see them trying to put it away as quickly as possible. So.
Want to hear something ironic?
What's that?
The second, third, and fourth best defenses in the NBA were all first round exits.
Oh my.
Jazz, Pacers, and Thunder.
Gosh. That.
Yeah. How do you feel about your defenses now, Alan?
The number one defensive team in the league has the best record and the home court advantage throughout the playoffs, Devin.
Oh, my gosh. Guess who's your pick on which team has the worst defense that is still in the playoffs?
The Spurs.
You're right.
Yeah, they're horrible, dude. They're not good.
They are 20th.
Well, they've come up from early in the season, because I remember the first half of the season, they were like 29th.
Yeah. Yeah. They were the worst defense in the NBA for the first month, it seems like. Well,
see, that doesn't
surprise
me.
Someone was historically bad, and then it was Spurs. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me, because Popovich is such a good coach that what he has done is rope-a-doped everyone into thinking that they're a bad defensive team. But then they were really just waiting until the playoffs to turn it on. And this is where Pop really shines and makes this big run. And once again, takes his team to the NBA Finals, where they win it all.
You just used the word rope-a-doped.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know rope-a-dope.
I didn't say I didn't. I just think that's awesome that you just kind of fit that right in there. That worked.
That worked. Are we ready for our NBA Finals MVP LaMarcus Aldridge?
No, it
goes to DeMar DeRozan.
Yes, I was going to say, don't you dare give it to Aldridge. Give it to DeRozan. Yes,
which would make a great episode of Game of Zones.
That's true.
Oh, all right. That's enough NBA talk. Let's move on to Devin's quick hits. Devin?
Okay, that's enough NBA talk. Baseball is happening. Yay. Let's do a quick rundown of the first round of the NFL draft, shall we?
I didn't watch any of it last night, so this is my first chance hearing it.
I'm going to recap it. Number one pick, Kyler Murray, quarterback out of Oklahoma, goes to the Arizona Cardinals. What does this mean for Josh DeRozan? Or Rosen, sorry.
You're still on the duh part.
Means he better have a breakout season or he's going to get replaced right away.
Agreed.
Is Kyler Murray I know he is the number one pick, but should he have been the number one pick?
I don't know. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
All right. You're taking a flyer on a baseball player. I can think of someone who played in the NBA and played baseball, and I don't know if he was that great.
Well, I don't know. If you see some of the crisp passes he throws, you might think he was actually pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see. Number two, 49ers take Nick Bosa.
Yep, saw that.
You like that one, Alan?
Yes.
Okay. Jets, number three, take Quinnen Williams out of Alabama, defensive tackle. Raiders take Clelin Ferrell out of Clemson. Bucks take Devin White out of LSU. Next intriguing pick, New York Giants take a quarterback. And they take Daniel Jones out of Duke?
Really?
Duke.
Now,
if we're talking football, right? Yes, we are.
Zion Williamson as a tight end, I'd say that's a good pick.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. Is that the second best quarterback in this draft?
I'm trying to remember, but I seem to remember an analyst talking earlier in the season about how good of a football team what Duke was, and their quarterback was part of that reason. But I could be blowing smoke on that one because I don't remember.
Okay, so I guess we'll see how that goes, but the fact is the Giants do have to prepare for the end of the Eli Manning era, right? So I guess if you're a firm believer in this kid, then it's an okay pick because maybe it's time to move on. Maybe this just means that they're going to be handing the ball off to Barkley a lot, right?
Yeah.
All right. Number seven, Jaguars take Josh Allen, linebacker out of Kentucky. Lions at number eight take TJ Hawkinson, tight end out of Iowa. Bills take Ed Oliver, defensive tackle out of Houston. Steelers take Devin Bush, linebacker out of Michigan. Bengals at number 11 take Jonah Williams, offensive line out of Alabama. Packers at number 12. You like that pick?
Yeah, if I remember right, Bengals gave up, I think they were the top three in sacks allowed. So that's good that they can get someone like that in the first round.
Okay, Packers take, and I hope I'm saying this right, Rashawn Gary, edge player out of Michigan. Dolphins take Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle out of Clemson. You're seeing a lot of guys from that national championship game coming off the board. Let me see here. Where I'm looking at the CBS sports coverage of this, and that pick is actually given an A+. And this was written by Pete Prisco. Let me tell you what he says about that that Miami pick. He says, this is my favorite pick in the entire draft so far. Love this pick. I think this kid is going to be a star. I was all over Grady Jarrett when he was picked, and I think Wilkins could be even better. This is a good building block for Brian Flores and his staff. A+. So that's pretty high praise, I think, coming in.
Yeah, and I'm looking at ESPN coverage, and they're pointing out that last year was the second most times Matt Ryan's been sacked, and so they're shoring up there.
Oh, you're looking at number 14, Chris Lindstrom, guard.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to be a good one. What did they say on this guy? Uh, Yeah, this one has high praise for that one too.
Okay. Number 15, the Redskins take Dwayne Haskins, quarterback out of Ohio State. Seems to be a good pick. Maybe the guy that should have been going to the Giants. What do you guys think?
I thought he was the second best quarterback out there, so I'm really surprised the Duke guy went above him.
Okay.
Look good for them getting him that far down.
Number 16, Panthers take Brian Burns out of Florida State. Number 17, Giants with their second pick in this round take Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle out of Clemson. Number 18, Vikings take Garrett Bradbury, center out of NC State. Titans with number 19 take Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. The Broncos take Noah Fant, tight end out of Iowa. We'll see how he pairs up with Joe Flacco, but we'll see. If there wasn't a great quarterback available, you know, a tight end is not a bad pick for Denver, I don't think. Packers, with their second pick, take Darnell Savage, safety out of Maryland. Eagles take an offensive tackle, Andre Dillard from Washington State at number 22, who I think may be the first Pac-12 player.
Ooh.
Yeah, so far that's the first guy out of the Pac-12.
Yep.
So, let's see. Texans, number 23, Titus Howard, offensive tackle out of Alabama State. Raiders take Josh Jacobs, running back out of Alabama. Ravens take Marquise Brown, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. I think that's the first wide receiver taken. Redskins take Montez Sweat. Out of Mississippi State. Raiders take Jonathan Abram, safety out of Mississippi State. Chargers take Jerry Tillery, defensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Good pick. Seahawks take LJ Collier, edge player out of TCU. Giants get another pick at number 30. Take DeAndre Baker, cornerback out of Georgia. Falcons take Caleb McGarry, offensive line from Washington. And the Patriots end up taking N'Keal Harry, wide receiver out of Arizona State. So you do get a couple more Pac-12 guys slipping in at the end there.
So I have some information while you were running numbers. Daniel Jones was just sitting in my mind because you just thought, what an outlier from Duke, right? Their team went 8-5. He's 6'5", 221 pounds. So he's a tall quarterback. And apparently the Giants had them on their board. They had him in for a draft workout, had him on their board as their guy. And they were worried about him. They were worried about him getting picked up before by the 17th pick. So they figured they had to take a chance and take him. Mel Kiper, I was just reading here. Mel Kiper had him ranked 23rd on the draft board. Whereas if you go, Todd McShay had him down at 59th, but Mel Kiper Jr. had him way high on the draft board. And a few scouts said a few different things, but ultimately his tools, they think he's got a high ceiling. But he's 6'5". He threw 2,600 yards last year, 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and rushed for 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he's got some tools, apparently, that the Giants think that Manning can help him hone.
Yeah, but if he's 23 on the draft board and you have the 17th pick, why are you taking him at number 6?
The people that are surprised thought that the guy that should have gone before him at quarterback was it Haskins, whatever his name was?
Yeah, out of Ohio State.
Yeah, that was what surprised most people, but it sounds like he was still high enough on the draft board that people the Giants felt they were worried that someone else would take him. So apparently he's been high enough on some people's draft boards.
Well, Haskins went 15.
Right.
So, you know, if no one else was going to pick Haskins, your only competition there is the Panthers at 16.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at the teams here and seeing, yeah, maybe the Dolphins would have taken a flyer. Packers aren't. The Steelers, maybe with Roethlisberger getting older. The Bills just picked up someone. Lions, I believe, are still locked in at a quarterback.
Just sounds like it sounds like his workout with the Giants went so well that they were enamored by him. They wanted him.
We'll see. It's an intriguing pick, though, right?
Yeah, it is. Might be the most intriguing of all the picks right now.
That's what I was going to say. Is that the most intriguing pick for you, John?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's it. Let's just, you know, consider that coverage, and then we'll see what happens in the upcoming rounds the next few days. Be interesting to see what local guys come out in the draft.
I'm looking at the best players available, and so somewhere around third, fourth, fifth round, the Utes, they expect to go Cody Barton, outside linebacker, and Marquise Blair, safety. They expect those guys to get drafted. And then Sione Takitaki from BYU, supposed to.
Yep. I could see that.
Is that my phone or is that you guys?
Nope, that's you.
Could
that's
be
me. Let me close ESPN because they love to just randomly play music in my ear. Gosh, I hate sites that do that.
Oh, come on. John's
having a conversation on the podcast while he's being serenaded on the other end.
All right. Should we call it there and move over to pop culture? I think we got a few things to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it. What do we have to talk about? Avengers Endgame hits theaters today, and I'm thinking you and I hopefully will see it within the next week. Anything else to really – what else we got to talk about?
I didn't see any movies in theaters this week. Binge-wise, I did finally finish Travelers. I thought it had a really good series finale. So glad I went ahead and invested three seasons into that. Right now, my Stars free trial is almost over, so we're jamming on season two of American Gods, which has been really good, so I'm enjoying that series. And we also gave up on Outlander.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a good old romantic show, but every season has just gotten sillier. And, you know, I'm mainly watching it for my wife, and she just kind of went, you know what, I can't do this anymore. So we bailed on that show.
I shockingly did not see anything in theaters. Netflix-wise, recently I watched, was it called The Perfect Date? I think is what it was.
I thought I saw that.
And with that guy that's in all the Netflix shows. that one guy.
Noah Centineo or something like that.
Yeah, that one Noah guy. It was good. It was, you know, what you would expect from a rom-com. You know, a fun, interesting... Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you hear the movie that Noah just got cast in?
No. Is it a Netflix one?
No. He has been cast as the new He-Man in a Masters of the Universe
movie. What? Really?
I know. Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Oh. All right. Maybe they'll do right by that franchise this time around, because that 1980—I'm starting to date myself here. That was awful.
That 1890s. I just have to ask. I'm not super familiar with He-Man. Is there any romantic comedy to it? Because that's all I've seen this guy in.
No.
Not really. I mean, the comedy is when he switches back and forth between being He-Man and Prince Adam. And one thing that never made sense on the series is that Prince Adam looks exactly like He-Man, except He-Man has a tan.
Yes.
And yet no one can tell.
Well,
that it's
okay.
The same guy.
Now, hold up.
I hope they do something with CGI to make that a little less obvious.
Now, hold up. There was a difference in musculature.
Nah. Prince Adam wore a shirt and He-Man did not. Prince Adam was amazingly built.
Alan thinks that's funny.
No, just the way he describes it, I think it's hilarious. By the power of Grayskull. Anyway, back in the day, those were good shows, but John's right. And I want an Orko sighting, but I don't know how you, or I mean, with CGI, you could do anything, but what would you do and who would be the voice?
I would love it if they didn't have Orko, but.
What? Yeah, come on.
Oh, see, I liked the action figures first and the comics that came with the action figures.
Yeah.
And so I got into that first. And Eternia was this battle-torn world. And then the Filmation cartoon came out and they had Orko. And I went, oh, man.
Yeah, Devin, sorry, we're talking about stuff you have no idea about. Maybe they'll throw He-Man, Master of the Universe on Netflix. Right now, She-Ra's on there right now.
It is on Netflix.
Oh, it is. Well, Devin?
Yeah, I watched the first three or four episodes when it hit and went, oh, man, this is dumb.
Devin, you'll have to venture into that realm on Netflix just for the hell of it.
Yeah, let me put that on my to-do maybe eventually one day list.
Just so you can see how bad 1983 Filmation animation was.
Now that said, the spinoff they've done pretty well with. She-Ra's had quite the showing on Netflix, and it's been really good from what I understand. I have not watched it yet, though.
Yeah, I probably won't, but I heard good things.
I've heard very good things about it. So,
one other Netflix quick hit. It's not something that I watch, but I wanted your guys' take on it. Sounds like there's a concern about The Office coming off the Netflix streaming service. It's a few years away. I think it was like 2021 is when the contract is up. Do you think a few years from now Netflix could be in serious trouble, or will they have enough of their own content to sustain?
I think they're going to be in trouble when Disney Plus launches and all the Disney and Fox titles are removed from Netflix. They've got to figure out how they're going to proceed, because my understanding is they've got like, what was the number? Okay, I'm not even going to throw it out because I can't remember the exact stuff. But Netflix is going to be in trouble. They raise their prices. You have other streaming stuff coming out. Disney Plus is a lot less. And I think you, in general, are going to see more and more people looking at all these streaming options and just going, maybe I'll just do this one for a month. Maybe I'll just do this one for a month. And I think you're also going to see some of the lesser streaming services try to bundle up with each other.
Right.
Because there is so much. I mean, CBS has its own streaming channel. It's like, how many streaming networks are there going to be? DC Universe? Has anyone tried that? I mean,
I haven't, but I've heard.
Yeah. So many.
Well, and the thing is I'm looking at it. I actually think the one we haven't mentioned that could also lose out, Redbox is going to be an outlier eventually, because you can rent, you know, the streaming versions of the movies on Redbox right now. But if you're moving everything to the apps like Disney Plus and whatnot, you know, I mean, Redbox will still probably get rights to release, you know, for people who want to rent. But why would people want to rent on Redbox when you can get all the movies you want on your streaming services like Disney? So I wonder what Redbox is going to do in the upcoming months or years as well. Netflix, though, if they can bring out enough original content, I think they'll be okay, because that, you know, Amazon Prime's done pretty good for themselves, especially with original content.
Right, but if you keep putting up your prices and how much,
right,
you know,
right.
How many things can they get? There's a handful of things that Netflix has done very well with, but I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see, but it's something to consider.
In fairness, Amazon Prime's not, I mean, their monthly price, I mean, it's annual. I think it's like $100 or a little over $100 a year.
Right. But here's the thing, though. Amazon Prime is their streaming service that comes with something else.
Right. With music and everything else you get. Right. Right.
Hulu,
right,
is now bundling up with Spotify.
Right.
And so you got those two where you're getting both of them for $10.
Yep.
You know, here
That's
we are
true.
Basically pitching things. Netflix may have to find some way to bundle up with something else,
right,
to really make it seem worth it, especially as they start losing content if this happens. So it'll be interesting. It seems like the whole streaming service has shifted away from your big box, you know, satellite and cable providers. Right. But what's going to happen here in the next 3 to 5 years is going to be very interesting, because I think you're going to see a shift again.
You haven't even mentioned another streaming service that's coming out that I'm not sure I want to partake of, and I really can't. Apple TV. That's another streaming service with their own original content as well is supposed to hit the streams. The issue I have with that one is that Apple is not compatible with all devices like these other options are.
Right.
And so I, you know, my kids have iPhones. My wife has iPhones. You know, if Apple TV is not available to me on my mobile device, I'm not going to invest in it, and I don't want to.
I'm glad you said Apple TV, because I thought you were going to say something else.
What?
Some adult streaming service. And I was like, Alan, this is a family show. Please.
Well, the perfect timing on that is I hear the door open behind John. So I thought when you were saying all of that, John's like, I'm out of here. Clunk. Anything else in pop culture?
Let's see.
I got one
trying
thing.
Trying to remember if there's any news. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
My one thing is I was going to ask Alan how his Fan X panel went.
It went good.
That's we all had, you want to say?
No, we had it surprised me. Fan X was just 2 days this year. I hear they're going to do the main event in September, which will be 3 days. But it was good because there wasn't a lot of Star Wars content. In fact, that's how we started out the panel. I just says, you know, this was nice. They gave us a smaller room this time around than last time, but we still packed about 250 or so people in the room. So we had a lot of people show up, and we talked Chewbacca for the hour, and it really turned out to be quite a bit of fun. And yeah, I enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot of Star Wars content at this one. There were only two Star Wars stars that were even there. And so we were the lone Star Wars, podcast / panel, which I think is why that bodes so well for us having that many people show up. So, I mean, we had a good time.
You said you talked Chewbacca for an hour, and I just imagined you talking like Chewbacca for an hour. And I just imagined 250 people sitting in there being like, oh, yes, this is so good.
We actually gave them all a chance to line up and speak to us, tell us their favorite moments, and give us their best Wookiee impersonation, and it was quite entertaining.
Were there some good Wookiees?
There were some decent ones, yeah.
John, you do voices. Can you do a good Wookiee?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I told him in the podcast, I said, I'm not trying it because I'm not good at it. So, no, it turned out good. It did.
Can you do a good Wookiee?
No, I can't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Okay.
John, you were going to say something else about pop culture, some news or something?
I was just trying to think of the new trailers that have come out. There's a new Gemini Man trailer where young Will Smith is trying to assassinate older Will Smith. And that plot sounds similar to Looper, and Looper is a movie I loved.
Okay.
But the CGI looks really good. It just looks like, 25-year-old Will Smith chasing 45-year-old Will Smith.
I'm going to have to check that out because I haven't I saw it in my timeline, but I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, so that looks interesting.
I'm trying to think of other news in pop culture, and I can't remember it. There was a director that passed away at age 79 a couple days ago, and I've already forgotten his name, so... But I don't remember much else news-wise. It's killing me.
That's okay.
So
we can stop.
All right. Well, that should wrap it up this week. We want to thank all of you for joining us for another episode edition of Jedi and Germs. We appreciate you being along each and every week with us. Share us out there with friends, retweet us, get others to join us each week for our discussion. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Anywhere you download and listen to podcasts, just look up Jedi and Germs. Please take a moment, if you will, and leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does that help us get seen on iTunes, but it actually helps us. We like reading the reviews. They give us a little bit of confidence in moving forward. So we'd appreciate it if you took a moment and wrote a review for us. That's about it. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.